welcome to the classic cult TV club where we watch cult TV so you don't have to, from 20 years ago and before. And we're here with Jeanette.
Hi.
Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Hola.
Lisa.
Hey, hey.
And Cassandra.
Hi.
And I'm Justin, and we're watching Double the Fist.
Yay.
What is Double the Fist? I've never heard of it.
Oh, yeah, that's because it aired at like 10 p.m. on the ABC, and I'm not even sure how even I heard about it. But basically, it's a comedy show, and the premise is that the host, Steve Fox, is upset with certain parts of modern society, which he considers to be too weak for unexplained reasons. And so he and his cohort of randoms basically try to make random bits of modern society more fist-worthy.
Fist-worthy.
Yeah. It's usually involving, like, explosions or things like
and
that.
And this is an Australian comedy?
This is an Australian comedy, yeah. The vibe that I would probably describe it as is a bit like 15 years ago on YouTube, you'd have people make useless plots just to justify fighting space ninjas or something like that. Yeah. And it's basically, like, a bunch of young men just doing stupid things because they want to film themselves doing stupid things.
It's like Jackass.
Australian Jackass.
It was not quite. It's a bit more fictionalized. So they describe themselves as if the goodies did Jackass. So it's a bit more on video game logic. So they would do stuff which is impossible just because they can, because it's not real. Half of the show is obvious CGI as well.
Oh, okay.
So it's not Jackass.
So ridiculous, it's fake. Yeah.
And that's a huge bit of the show. It's just we're doing obviously fake things because we can.
Is this like a less 2005, more 2010? But like, is it more hashtag random?
Not that random. It's just more like, not as bad as testosterone poison, but definitely men doing stupid things for the sake of it.
Right, okay.
It's already giving Viva La Bam? Yeah, Viva La Bam.
Which was like an offshoot of Jackass anyway.
Yeah. It's Bam Margera and all of his friends just doing dumb things for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Because he was rich.
Which Bam's thing was just basically humiliating his family at the same time, wasn't it, back in the Jackass days?
Hey, look, they wanted it.
That's true. They're having to take that money.
They signed the contract and all that to be a thing. It got really, really hostile at the end, though. That's what it's giving, at least.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's a bit more, like can I explain?
Artificial, like, as opposed to reality.
Yeah, so like, say, in the first episode, they try to help random people be more fist-worthy. So one of the characters, who's Steve's brother, Rod, who thinks he's God's gift to the universe, but he's terrible. He makes Adam already more fist-worthy by getting her to drink tea, by putting tea leaves in her mouth and heating the water in her hands and drinking it that way to make
I'm really concerned about the use of the phrase fist-worthy.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like we need to get all of the fist double entendres, because I know that it was an intentional thing for them. I know it would have been.
Probably.
Yeah, but I'm glad I'm not the only
one. Every time I hear
going, do I mention fisting now?
Yeah.
I'm like, do we need to have a moratorium where we just get it all out?
It's been comfortably within me, yeah.
I mean, most of the show is pretty sexless, but it's not completely. It's made in 2004, so it's definitely
awful.
Some of the stuff I know is aged really terribly.
There were two series, weren't there? Is that right?
Yeah, the first series I've seen, and the second series was worse. I haven't seen that one yet, so I'm not getting real opinions on that.
And apparently, in 2004, it won an award.
Yes, what happened was that the Australian Film Institute, ahead of Kath and Kim, gave it Best Comedy TV Series of the Year, and nobody knows why, but it's...
So we're watching this because the ABC made a mistake and gave the wrong show an award.
So we have to say award-winning.
I'm part of the reason why I'm doing this is because it's very, very 2004, and I'm wondering how well it's aged, not just in terms of this ridiculous stuff, whether it's particularly timely anymore, but also the fact that it's probably a bit bloke-ish as well. So I'm wondering in the post whatever era we're in, where men are upset about DEI, whatever.
Whether it's progressive enough for today's society.
It's going to be one of those things that you'll look back on. Like, I remember fond memories of Jackass and Viva La Bam and all that sort of stuff. Looking back, I went to go and try and watch, try being the operative word, and watch any of that content, and I'm like, bleh.
Yeah.
So awful.
Yeah. I did a similar thing like last year, Third Rock from the Sun. I used to love that show.
Yeah.
That's now on Stan. And I went, oh, this is great. I'm going to introduce Kenzie to it. This is awesome. I used to love this show when it came out. Joseph Gordon-Levitt when he was a child. Mm-hmm. And,
I remember Matt
just
the exact
really
same way.
Sexist. It's really dodgy. It's one of those shows where they just don't know how to write for women, about women, a scene with women. I'm pretty chill, but I'm like, ugh, yeah. this did not hold up in a way I thought it would.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think this series might be that sort of thing.
We'll find out.
Because like, I've got, look, because I watched it 2 decades ago, so I've got kind of the nostalgia.
Has anybody else watched this, by the way?
I'm sure
there was a show that came out, and I wasn't sure whether you were talking about it. I wasn't sure whether it was this show, but I don't think it is. And there was some show where you'd have all of these people come on, and they'd have to go out into the world, and they'd be pranking people.
Oh, and that was, show. Balls of Steel.
That's the one.
It was British.
So it's not that.
It's not that. It's like,
no. So they did an Australian version.
No, it's basically.
So it's not that. Okay.
Yeah, because like Balls of Steel was basically you go and do pranks and it's real.
Yeah.
And the point of this
and
is it's
have
so
different
fake.
Characters yeah. that would be, come out every week, and there was one where it was just basically this woman would do it, but her thing was to go up to couples and try to steal the boyfriend. She'd go up to a couple and start talking to him, but it was obvious she was flirting with the guy while the girlfriend was there next to her. And I'm going, oh my god, yeah. this chick is going to get her block knocked off. Like, it's just, she is the worst. But then it was all an act. It was a personality, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's the thing. Yeah, part of that is it's pranking and therefore it's real. This is definitely like,
this is not.
This is like, obviously everything is fake, obviously.
Because I thought it was the same shower that you were talking about. And then the more you're talking about it, I'm going, I don't think this is
yeah.
it.
I think it's also the vibe of mid-2000s humour is basically random stuff which involves pranks or people getting hurt and stuff. So they probably do all merge together.
And it's really interesting when you think about it from a societal point of view, because that humour was getting very edgelordy.
Yeah.
And then we all kind of turned a bit and went, no, this is not okay.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of turned in a direction that's more progressive. And I feel like it had to kind of come to that head. And I think of when you talk about they go back into people's Twitter accounts 20 years ago and they find all this problematic stuff.
Oh, I hate it.
I don't think I would be like that, but I think if I was on social media in the 90s and they went back and looked at my stuff, I think my humour was very edgy on the point of not okay. And I think some of the humour and the comedy was going to that point, and then it kind of went, no, guys, you're going too far now.
So yeah.
Well, if you look at Bo Burnham, he's a classic example.
Yeah.
He got pulled up on the internet for early 2000s. He made a terrible song and someone was like, hey, remember when Bo Burnham did this? He's not actually a great guy. His reaction wasn't immediately, oh, I'm so sorry I existed. Mm-hmm. Instead, it was to make a comedy song saying, I've grown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're silly for even trying to pull me down with that one.
The fact that I'm not doing that now is because I've learned and grown and know that it's not okay.
Yes. And societal norms have changed so much. So we're judging people by different societal norms. Judge the societal norms, not the people.
We went through a process in late 90s. I remember first hearing about South Park, and then a lot of shows that similar to South Park all kind of came up, and it was this one-upmanship. I can make it worse, I can make it raunchier, I can make it more inappropriate, I could, and it kind of exacerbated, and then you'd have your Jackass, and it's like, get out, Jackass, oh, I could do this, and I could do that.
Do you remember Drawn Together?
Yes. So Drawn Together is on Paramount Plus at the moment, and I went, oh, I used to love Drawn Together.
Yeah, no.
And also on Paramount Plus, you'd be happy to hear, is Daria. Kenzie freaking loves Daria.
Yes. It's a good time for her to get into it.
And I explained who Daria was, and I said, oh, and she's got her best friend, Jane, who's an artist. And she went, I think I'm Jane. She's loving it. Yeah. And she's going, oh my God, this is me and my friends in a couple of years' time. Totally. And I went, you know, everyone used to compare me to Daria when I was a teenager. She goes, I could totally see that. So, but so then there's other shows like Drawn Together. And I went, I can't watch that around you because that is really
so
bad. And that was one of those shows. I remember watching that at the time and then going, this is getting really close to a line. This is really bad.
But that's the same with Family Guy and American Dad. Yes. They cross those lines heavily. But I can guarantee that I was probably one of the most racist people I knew in high school because I thought I was super cool, but I was not.
You just
was
edgy,
It was edgy. It was me trying to be cool and hip and different and
also,
stuff.
And also, I feel like the vibes at the time was definitely pushing boundaries in because we are being actively racist to be edgy.
But it wasn't in a like, I hate this type of people.
There was no emotion behind it. Yeah. It was just
really dumb comments that I would never make now. And it keeps me up at night. The moment where I'm like, remember that time that you did
it's
that
like,
thing?
A lot of kids in like middle school use gay and stuff like that as an insult. And it's just like, that's just so...
Yeah. Kenzie's discovered, she's looked up in the dictionary and she found out that gay also means happy. So anytime anyone uses an insult, she's going, oh, so you're saying they're happy? Oh, it's not lovely. I'm going, but you're kind of not getting it. But that's a good way to diffuse it. Well done, you know, but
Also, that means she's not using that term.
That's it. She's like, I'm refusing to acknowledge that you can use that as an insult because it's not an insult because it doesn't mean that. Yeah. And I'm like, but you really need to kind of go, no, this is the meaning they're using it for, and it shouldn't be an insult because of the actual meaning, you know?
Definitely.
It still gets used, but I think
reclaiming that word.
That's right.
Yes. And a lot of these things, it kind of came to it. So what year are we talking about?
04.
04?
Yeah.
And this is where we kind of getting close to that line.
Because the thing, like, this show isn't being edgy, it's just being violence among... Well, it is being violent, but it's not necessarily focusing on the transgressing boundaries. There's a few bits where it's aged badly because it's in a time where we weren't caring about racism, sexism, homophobia. But it's not actively trying to be like, we are being offensive. It's more, we are being ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's going to age badly because it's the same sort of vibes of there's human that's aged badly because it's in an era where we don't care about how we treat women, how we treat racial groups. But it's not going to be actively transgressive or whatever. It's definitely going to age badly. But the question is, how is it going to age badly? I think it's not going to be random. It's definitely going to be focused on just juvenile, we're just doing random violent stuff for the sake of doing random violent stuff. And so it's going to age badly in the same way that Happy Tree Friends is going to age badly.
Yeah.
Not because it's anything inherent to it. It's just like we've moved on.
That's it. And for a while during this period, it was very much like, oh, you can't do funny unless you push boundaries.
Yeah.
And in the last 20 years, they've actually shown, you can do funny. Inherently offensive. Yeah.
Also the gap of like people being offensive as the joke.
Yes.
So, did any of the actors actually go on to do anything? Or?
No.
When Chopper spawned, or was that from the other comedy thing?
No, Chopper was from the... Oh, I forget the show.
Ronnie Johns. And a few people went on from Ronnie Johns, didn't they?
But these guys, either... I wouldn't be able to tell you, honestly, who the actors were.
Yeah, I've got their names here.
But I was going to say, I'm going to have a quick
Craig
look.
So, Craig Anderson, Steve Fox, there's Tony Waters, and Holly Andrew.
Oh, she appears. Second season.
So I've missed someone there then. Okay, there's one more.
I wouldn't be able to tell you who starred as the characters.
Wenham.
IMDb rates Double the Fist as 7.4 out of 10.
That's high. Well,
that is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Top rated shows, season 1, episode 7.
Oh, that makes sense. Because
named terrorism.
Yeah, because they had a bit of a arc. So the last episode is where Steve Fox fights the evil bad guy. I haven't seen it for ages, so I forget the plot line, but it's basically they just build up to...
So how many people have rated it? Like 2, 3, 1?
No idea.
Yeah.
And many of these episodes aren't rated.
Yeah.
The episode we're watching has not been rated on IMDb.
So if they've got their friends and family to go on and rate as many episodes as they can.
Yeah, probably.
The reason it's rated at 7 point something is because that episode, episode 7, is rated at like 8.4. The only other episode rated, full stop, end of story, is rated 6. So it's like straight in the middle between those two. Anyway,
I decided to pick the episode Fistathlon, where Steve Fox is upset that sports are too weak, and so it makes it a bit more fist-worthy through various means. And I will give no spoilers, because I want to see what your reaction is to how they make sports better.
Okay, I guess we'll get on and watch it. Yep.
Let's watch these people get their fist on.
Only people, the main characters really haven't gone on to do much.
The
only ones that have gone on and done stuff are the ones that are like cameo people. Like there's one of the Umbilical Brothers on here.
Yeah. In one episode, they had a parody of like a reality TV show. And on it had, I forget her name, she went on to star in Chuck.
I know. Yvonne
Strahovski.
Is she in Double Fist?
She is in one episode. Not in this one. She's in the one after this, where it's a parody of reality TV.
Chuck's a good one. We need to bring Chuck to the table.
Yeah,
I like Chuck. I've gone back and watched it a few times. And
does it hold up?
Does actually?
No spoilers. I want to show Angus.
Chuck's a good one.
Okay. Yeah, you got to watch from start.
Yes,
with absolutely no idea what's happening.
Okay.
It's the best way to watch it.
Is that a cult TV club experience or a?
No, I don't think I want you to experience.
Yeah. Might not be recent enough for cult TV.
I think it's like 3 years' time. Like,
I thought Chuck was 08, 06, 08.
Which we're not ready for yet. So, yeah.
I've got the list of shows that are almost exactly 20 years old. So we'll put it on the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
07.
Yeah. 07. That makes sense.
Because I remember... Okay. Oh, it's better hold up.
So I thought Double the Fizz was really bloody impressive. What do you think, Cass?
I think that nostalgia goggles got probably hitting a bit, but yeah.
Was it up to what you remember?
It's okay. Yeah, I think it's just the point of it is just pure ridiculous testosterone poisoning. So it's also, I wanted to just have an episode that's kind of middle as well, just because by the end of the season it just becomes a storyline sort of thing where they're defeating this big bad, and it's just like, yeah, nah. They're probably better than this episode, but I didn't want to.
Oh, so it devolves.
So it has a narrative. They try and introduce a narrative. Okay, right. Yeah.
So do they do like a competition like this every episode?
Not really. I mean, I guess so, in the sense that they're trying to prove that they're the most fist-worthy person on the show. But it's this is just like they did a sports competition because they can.
Oh, so this is a specific episode like this.
So what do you think of that, Jenna?
It was awful. It was like a really bad student thing, and I laughed all the way through it. Sorry, I'm like, oh my god, I am laughing at this.
They kept it up, didn't they? They kept up the consistency, so it sold it a bit.
Yeah.
Angus, what do you?
I mean, it existed.
It wasn't
my type of thing. I don't like that sort of. I don't know. That sort of format, I'm not a big. I mean, it doesn't help that I'm just not a big sports person at all. But it very much felt like a student thing.
It did.
In
today's time, you would see, and I haven't found it. I can't cite an example, but you would definitely find that on YouTube.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the type of stuff that comes out on YouTube now.
Not even now. It came out
like 10 years ago when Filthy Frank was a thing. Even now it's quite outdated. And
this was giving, I think, Hat Films vibes, but they're GTA videos.
Oh, they're edited.
Yeah.
Stunt lads.
Yeah, they're stunt lads.
But yes, it was very sarcastically done, and it wasn't serious. It was very ridiculous. It was very silly. It was very artificial.
This was definitely giving, like, Twitch streamers getting together, like, Twitch group streamers getting together, doing competitions against each other and doing silly stuff against each other.
And it's kind of, I could see the parody and I could see several things. So it's definitely Jackass parody. Amazing Race, and there was a real feel of that Amazing Race in there. And even just some of the references, like the sporting references and things like that. Adelaide's got to drop off at the moment, which is totally what they used to do with the cricket and stuff. But there was a show this reminded me of, and I may be the only person in the room who knows this one. It used to be on really late at night called Bloke's World. I was getting Bloke's World vibes from 100%. This, where it was just, I know, and it was really scary. It was basically, what would happen if the creators of FHM magazine made a TV show?
Yes.
100%. Yeah. Even to the point where they would have segments where they would show pole dancing and things like that. Like, it was it was full on. The host would be like that, but this was almost a parody of that type of toxic masculinity.
Oh, was that a serious show?
And it would be stuff like they would have guys doing poon comps with their four-wheel drives or their Datsun 120Ys doing burnouts and stuff. Yeah. Or they'd be like, oh, you know, it was real blokey. This is the type of show that blokes like to watch.
This is a show for the boys.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Toxic masculinity in a nutshell. Yeah.
Bloke's World was like catered to bogans.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this feels like it's catered to
the intellectual bogan.
Yeah. Much like it's like Big Bang Theory.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where it's offensively wrong.
It's like a tongue-in-cheek version.
Yeah.
But it's not tongue-in-cheek enough that the actual bogans would actually enjoy it, but the people making fun of the bogans would also enjoy it.
As a Sydney cider I can't believe I was actually able to go, haha, I know these places.
Yeah, you're like, I know that fountain. Yeah. I know that wharf. Yeah. I know that beach.
I know that sewer.
I know that sewer.
Well, okay, so that's so weird. I know that place because we used to go to the beach in Manly. I don't think it's Bondi. I think it's a different
They were getting on the ferry to Manly,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
and there's this beach that we used to go there with my aunt, and I hated being out in the ocean, but this was beach, but it was safe beach, and it wasn't filthy water or anything, and you were able to swim underneath the little kind of area and keep yourself out of the sun. Favourite area. Used to go there before my little sister existed. Sorry, Jazz, you missed out on that one. Bam, bam. But there were so many things that triggered me in that as well. Like jumping off the ferry. I know it was fake, but I was screaming on the inside. I was screaming so hard on the inside.
Because we all know what that harbour's like, and you wouldn't want to jump off that ferry.
Foul. It's not just foul. It's got tons and tons of nurse sharks and just sharks in general. You can do a walk around under the harbour a little bit. And that's where the aquarium is.
Yeah.
It's
on the Darling Harbour side.
Yeah. It's interesting, and you're not legally allowed to swim there, and so I'm like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? The $4 ferry tickets made me laugh because they are not that. It's like $25 to catch a ferry ride, or 50, I can't remember. And then there's the fountain. The fountain got me hostile. Got me real hostile. Because I remember distinctly, flashback, while watching this, right?
Yeah.
I was sitting on the fountain and I saw money in the fountain, so I went to pick it up. And I got yelled at. My parents were like, what are you doing?
Or your parents?
You can't do that. People put the money in there to make wishes. Like, I got a full talking to about this. And their whole thing was to steal. I love that the whole, it's a tourist hotspot. And so they had to dive in there and get the money. And all they got was foreign money. Because all of the tourists are throwing money in. And no one from Australia is throwing it in there.
I have thrown money in there before. I remember that. I put like a $2 coin in because I wanted more money. But I didn't get
the $2 coin they referenced. $2 coin final.
But like, oh my goodness, I was hostile. I was ready to fight someone because that was awful.
I love some of the references as well, because this was like early 2000s. Yeah. I mean, it's like first sketch where it was a guy having a basketball tournament against a Datsun 120Y. Man, in the 90s, half the people I knew, I drove a Nissan Pulsar, but half the people I know drove Datsun 120Ys.
We used to use a currency of 120Ys. A beer was a dollar at that stage. So it was beers, and Datsun 120Ys were about $100.
So 100 beers to a Datsun
120Y.
Oh, at least it was a decimal system.
I spin the wheels on a car with a 120Y. One of the guys I worked at Mac is like, let me show you how to drop the clutch so you can do it better. I'm like, I'm never going to need to use this. But but that's definitely a thing of its time. Yeah. And then, oh my God. But the absurdity, there was definitely a lot of absurd humour in there. Like having a basketball tournament and then Datsun 120Y just takes the guy out and the guy just goes and does a slam. I'm assuming the panda was a regular character.
Panda's a regular character, and I'm also assuming it's basically the actor who plays the fox in the suit. But yeah, definitely panda's the assistant to help with all stuff behind the scenes as well in context of the show.
I didn't want to like this, and then I got caught out and cracked up laughing so many times.
Yeah.
And
Just because you laugh doesn't mean that you like it, though, okay?
There are a couple of moments that you went from laughing to going, oh, no.
Did you hear me do that, did you?
Yeah. With the, I think it was the double breaststroke line.
And then you just see someone go to the group and they just cut it just beforehand. So, yeah. And you're just like, ooh. And then they see the show, the scoreboard, and you got the full points for it. I'm like,
It did make me miss one thing very heavily with Australian comedy of that time, because you also had Chasers War, CNN, and all these other shows that were pushing the parliament. Yeah. They were actively pushing politically. And I really miss that side of our comedy where it was traditional.
The Chasers were really
traditional bards. This had the anarchy of Chaser, but not the political acumen. It wasn't as thought-provoking and it wasn't as poignant.
I mean, Chaser really wasn't that thought-provoking and poignant either. Looking back at it now, I'm like, that is still a product of its time.
Mm. There was definitely like an anarchy mindset when they did it. CNN was a lot more mindful. I really enjoyed CNN.
That was still great.
I used to watch that twice, because you'd watch it for the episode and then have to go back and read the ticker tape, because there'd be so much going on at the bottom. It was a whole show in itself.
I remember for years we used to watch CNNNNNNN when the federal election came around, because they would do a live stream of everything and take the mickey out of everything. But it was so good.
It was really well done. So, because it was ABC, it was unbiased. I remember they had one episode and they went, I think it was... Is it Chaz Licadello? And he was going, nah, hang on, I think you'll find you've swung a little bit to the left on this one. And so then they do a sketch at the end that was very pro-liberal, just to keep everything
nice. It was really clever. They were really transparent
with what they had to follow as far as the rules for the election and stuff. And it's like, oh, no, we've got to make sure it's very... If we're picking on this guy, we're going to need to make sure we're picking on this party next.
And, if we're showing love to this party, then we need to show love to this party as well. Mm. It was really good at being totally unbiased. It was absolutely fantastic, whereas now we don't have anything like that. Mm. We don't have anything that pushes politics, and that's something that I really miss.
I think also just the environment of everybody wants to push that kind of... It does want to do that sound of humour. They're doing it online, and they don't want to be restricted by a network and stuff like that.
Yeah, but back in the day of Doug Anthony All-Stars, Tim Fake News basically ran for government, I think, in Tasmania for the LOLs.
Tim Ferguson. I was going to say, that wasn't for the LOLs. He was doing that intentionally.
But
I think the only reason why he stopped going for politics was when he got MS.
Yeah, but he was going hard for it and bringing it into the studio, and they were making jokes about everything, like politically as well. Doug Anthony All-Stars were way on top of it back then. I strongly miss that. And that was the one thing that I liked about this show.
Well, that was the Australian
was when they were... just being flat out rude to politicians.
I love that statement.
I think it's also just referencing the fact that the thing that's it's referencing a previous episode where literally all the guy did was say, you can't film here, and Steve Fox is just a massive fragile ego to be like, this terrible city is being blah, and the entire moment is like nothing.
I love that.
And I don't know whether it was so serious as well, or whether that was staged and then they've just jumped on it or whatever. It might be. It might have been serious. Yeah, it was staged,
But one thing that shows up is the larrikin nature of TV shows, etc. Doug Anthony All-Stars was very larrikin, CNN was very larrikin, and we've lost all of that.
We've lost so much of our culture. That is something that I really miss.
And you can really see there's a background for that. I'm not of the era of your Norman Gunston's, but that's what he used to do, where he was just kind of this renegade character, and he would do these interviews with these big name celebrities and be completely
deadpan,
but completely crazy.
Philomena Kunk, which is...
That's probably the best comparison, to be honest. But he looked goofy, and I think if he would presented more straight, he would definitely be a Philomena Kunk. Oh, what was the other thing I was thinking? The Late Show, the DJ Late Show, when they do their vox pop on the streets, but then also they would do stuff like Your Shit Scared, which was your stunt show, was very much like what they did there. And then also there was a really classic sketch that I love when they would go to different shops that had crazy names. Does anyone remember that one?
Considering I was like 5 years old.
They did one where they went to some shop and it was like an automobile shop, and it was like the Bolt Doctor, and it's like, quick, we need a doctor. Oh no, the Dashboard Doctor. And they're running with the dashboard. Help, we need a doctor. And then stacks of slacks, and then they'd just rock up with them two and a camera person and a boom operator and just... If they got booted out, that actually made for more comedy. And it ended up getting to the stage where some of these play, because the show would take off, they would actually, if they tried to come in the store and they tried to talk to them, they'd encourage it because they knew they would get more foot traffic.
Whereas like people like Chaser were going into Supre and things like that and going, let's have a rave, because they play the rave music. One's really funny, the other one's just, this is the music that people are listening to at the time.
Actually, the most recent anything like that that I can think of is Raka Raka, which is a YouTube group.
I was going to say, it'd have to be YouTube.
They did a couple of, relatively larrikin odds and ends. And I think at one of the supermarket malls in South Australia, I think it was like Marion or something like that, they gathered like 100 people and they had a lightsaber battle with 100 people throughout the mall. Just running around, swing lightsabers at each other. And just being silly.
And getting escorted off by a
lady. And being taken away by...
I recently took part in a zombie apocalypse shuffle down King William Street. I'd done it years ago when it used to be the zombie walk, and it was really structured, and you'd have SAPOL there, and it was all cordoned off by the City of Adelaide, and it was very much a well-organized machine. This was anarchy. They'd booked off part of Victoria Square for us all together at the finish line, but for some reason the Tour Down Under was on and the area that we'd been cordoned off was being used for food trucks, and it's just like there's nowhere for us to go, and it was so random, but it actually added to it because it felt like a flash mob, because it was just, we were just doing what the hell we wanted dressed as zombies, which is good when it was only maybe about 30 of us. They're planning another one later this year, and it's like, in a way, it needs to stay small or this is going to be a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of that. I think I would be one of the first people where it's like, we need someone to gather to this place and we're just going to do a massive flash mob and everyone just go crazy. I'd be like, yeah,
kind of Storm Area 51 sorts of thing.
Maybe different things.
But that level of spontaneity.
Yeah. Run into Area 51.
They can't stop us all.
And then you never heard from them again.
Plenty of places like that in Australia.
I would definitely like to see more of the. While I didn't like it, there is definitely a calling for more Aussie content. Now that America's no longer allowed on TikTok, it's kind of...
Is that still happening? I thought they got...
Oh, do they have it back yet?
They got TikTok back, but it's only going to be...
temporarily.
Yeah, I thought it was only going to be for a month or two. So once they get rid of...
6 months.
Oh, 6 months.
They're back on...
Oh, okay.
They're back.
It was amazing, right? The time that America wasn't on TikTok, which was literally like a weekend or something. Yeah. It was so nice because you got a whole heap of Australian content and European content and stuff like that. And there's heaps of people doing stuff. It's no longer on. Political rant. Yeah. This is something that really drives me nuts, is now that we have the internet and we're able to reach out to just anywhere in the world, people like Vincent van Gogh and amazing authors as well. Mm. Vincent van Gogh isn't an amazing author, though. People of named artists and stuff like that, they're not going to exist as much anymore because you're not living within your community, within your community, within your community. Mm. You're not an Australian living in Australia, living in South Australia, living in Gawler, living in, insert street name here. Like, you're not one community that might spread out and go, did you hear about this person in a couple of suburbs away? There is a maker, a creator in America that you can purchase things from for an exorbitant amount and stuff like that. And there's people in America making these amazing shows and making funny skits and things like that. And we don't have anything specific that we can post up on. You can go, #Australia, but
in the early days of the internet, we used to have forums, and that would have small communities, and those communities would...
I've still got friends that I met 25 years ago on Q&A forums that are still Facebook friends today.
But now it's
I'm still involved in a forum.
The scale of everything you see is so much beyond just that small, tight-knit. Yeah. Like, you're seeing things from all over that it's almost too big for that sort of community.
Yeah. Or there are things like that. Like, I'm in a small group of friends on Discord, and it's five people.
Discord's the only real.
But then again, it's also part of service where it's random people from across the world, so it's a sort of dispersed community.
Whereas if you look at r/Adelaide or r/Australia, r/Adelaide, you'd think there'd be, I'm a little time artist and I'm producing a film, come and check it out. No, it's guess who drove on the O-Bahn today. Here's their number plate, name and shame. Who's this W word parking over three spots at the Coles car park? Name and shame.
I don't go for the name and shame, but I do live for the who's the champion that drove.
Absolutely.
On the O-Bahn.
There is an amazing song about it by a South Australian artist who was also a comedian. Good on him. He doesn't wear shoes. I can't remember his name, but I know he doesn't wear shoes. Anyway, we don't have that kind of ability, even on our big share hobbies and stuff. You go to gaming places and stuff and people go, I bought these minis from America, or I got this idea from somewhere else. And it's not like, check out what Joe did down the road. They 3D printed these bases. Like, a friend of ours was, are there any local artists that can create 3D models for this thing? We don't have anything like that. Australia is just so desert.
That's a global failure of
community.
We just don't have it, and it's so important. And I like what this show represents.
Yeah,
but I don't like this show.
That's all my era.
I was able to bring them back around.
Like,
I was going to say, I don't know where we got to this point. I feel like we've gone a bit off key.
Yeah.
I love Australian culture. I love Australian TV, even if I won't watch it. I love that it exists.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't sit down
and watch it. And you know what? We need to watch more Australian shows for this. And I Googled a few weeks ago because, you know, I did say at the end of last year, I need to tap in more of the cult TV and bring more cult TV this year. And I was trying to look up Australian, but then the ideas you get is McLeod's Daughters, All Saints, Blue Healers. And I'm like, man, I never watched that back in the day, you know?
But then you've got, like, Kath and Kim, which we can bring to the table now, but I've been waiting. We can't do All Aussie Adventures. I can bring it to the table now. There's a whole heap of stuff that came out in the mid-2000s that I'm aware of. But when I looked further back, it didn't exist.
Well, it's like sketch shows.
Sketch shows that don't hold up because they're out of date. Yeah, and even Late Show, I love it, but if I was to bring an episode, because I used to have whole episodes, but 90% of it, you go, I don't even know this reference. I don't know what politician they're talking about. I don't know what sports person they're talking about.
A lot of Australian comedy, it was very clever, but it was very, very topical to the time, and it doesn't hold up simply because those references become obsolete. So it's really good, sharp political satire, but political satire doesn't...
Within 6 months to a year and outside a certain geographical area, it suddenly just loses its appeal.
The other thing is, as well, is we're talking, and I'm talking specifically about these times that we had good content, but there wasn't any representation of Indigenous Australians either, and like we need more of that, and not the fat funny friend or the token black guy.
The only woman that appeared in this was the one that got felt up in the double breaststroke,
or the one that got hit on the train.
I mean, they do correct this for having a female character in like two episodes in,
but it sounds like she gets
I don't want to get into details, but
it's not great. But then, like I said, if it's a parody of a show that is known to be toxic masculinity, like Bloke's World, that's exactly... It was almost like... What's that? The people who do the fat pizza about the Bogans.
I was about to bring up.
And seriously, when we used to watch that show, Bloke's World, it was like the only women they ever showed were pole dancers or it would be the girlfriend of the dude that drives a four-wheel drive. And she wouldn't be like Howzo's, but it would be like, oh, yeah, but she's cool because she's tomboy. It's like, hang on, why is that indicative of anything?
She's one of the blokes.
She's one of us guys.
She's more like a bloke than a woman.
We do have Wilfred. We have the Australian version of the Librarians, which was pretty good. It had some good comedians in it. There was Frank Woodley and his little show, but a lot of this is just, I can't find any episodes from Frank Woodley's show. I can't even find the DVDs of it anymore. It's impossible.
ABC was always a bit like that. Hard to kind of...
It's the amazing thing about any Australian content at all, movies, cinema, you know, TV shows, that you just can't get anymore. They're just gone.
And Australian literature.
They're all obviously sitting in some big archive somewhere in Canberra. And forget the idea of the public actually being able to access it or see it.
Is there any reason why they can't just upload the stuff onto iView or YouTube?
Why the hell isn't this stuff on torrent sites or some kind of iView or something like that?
So this is super interesting about, this would have been before we dated, so probably 10 years ago, I went to go see a Paul McDermott reunion show with my sister and my mother. We left a little bit early so we could be at the front of the line, so we could get our things signed. And I was chatting with this young man, and his mother turned around to me and explained that her son spends his time cataloguing all of these things. He goes through and watches all of these old videos and stuff. He loves it. And so he sat down and had a good long conversation with Paul and Flacco and Tim, basically going, yeah, I've got stuff from your early things. Please let me know if you want it. I think at least, I mean, that's what I hope.
Deserve it.
Republish it in places, because these people are going to cease to exist, and the footprint that a lot of these comedians left and a lot of these shows left is...
Sometimes, and some of these ones, and especially 10, 15 years ago, they would kind of find their way into the ether. I was a big fan of Get This, which was a radio show probably about 20 years ago now. I think it was about 2007 it came out. And that was Tony Martin, who was from the D-Gen, and he's gone on and done so much stuff. But he's an avid cataloguer. They would do the show on Triple M, but he would actually record it and then listen back to it and critique it and use it. And he put so much research into the show, and then they used to always drag it over the Coles because they're like, we're not marketing to nerds. We need to market to someone in their 30s who likes Bon Jovi and Nickelback. And they're like, oh, we're on the wrong network. It was struggle. Mm. And they still talk about that as being one of the best Australian radio programs that they ever had that basically got shafted by its own network. And they like that joke again where they said about, oh, yeah, Adelaide's had to switch off. They literally had that because at one stage, it was a two-hour show and Adelaide were only getting the first half because they decided to switch over to some Baza Gazza in the afternoon for the drive home type of thing. And it was just so tragic. But so they had a podcast version that were bringing out. It was like a bit of a best bits of the week type of thing when podcasts were really early, you know, really early in the piece. 2007 to 2008. But somehow, mysteriously, the full episodes, and you can get them through a website. They've been put on like Libsyn. You can't get them on Apple Podcasts or Google Play or whatever, but you can get them through this Libsyn, and they've all been catalogued and brought out. Right. The rumour is Tony Martin himself kind of went and released them into the ether. These need to be heard. Yeah. People are wanting this, and I'm not allowed to release
them.
Why wouldn't you? But legally, it's basically he's just recorded it off the radio, but he recorded it for his own benefit and just kind of went, the fans want it. I want it out there. Triple M won't release it.
Yeah.
Here it is.
They're stabbing themselves in the
back. That's it.
Yeah. And I'm going to release it because they're idiots.
And the guy who hosts
aren't
it,
responsible enough.
The guy who managed to get this collection, he didn't record it and he won't say where it comes from, but he hosts it on Libsyn, pays a certain amount every year for it to go there, and then on the Get This fan page, he basically goes, right, I'm bringing out some sticker on Redbubble. These are the amount of downloads we've had this year. If everyone who listens goes out and buys these stickers, that will pay for us to host it for another year. And everyone goes, yep. And then he turns around and goes, yep, I've got enough money to host it for the next 3 years, everyone. Well done. I'll talk to you guys again in a few years. And it's real fan service.
Yes.
That's the way it should be, you know?
Yes, it really should be.
But it's sad that there's a need for this, and we get that every single network they do it.
There should be National Archives doing this.
Yes, exactly.
I also find it amusing because one of the weird things I do online is find old stuff. And it's kind of perverse that I can find its entire fandoms of British TV idents, but nothing even close to coming that for Australia. But I can watch random old stuff from French because there's an official archive for French TV and radio. And I've been watching some of the videos recently they put onto their YouTube page that I have no context for, and it's entirely in French. So, and I can watch that, but not anything from Australia.
See, in the National Archives and these kinds of places, they've got all this stuff. It's mouldering away, falling, literally dissolving.
Yeah.
And nobody's got any reason to save it because it's not there for the public.
Yeah. Mm.
If it were there for the public would actually be doing it for them. Digitizing stuff.
Yeah.
People would care, and they would digitize it. It would all be
Maybe
out
Maybe Australia
there.
Just needs its own personal streaming service that isn't run by the government. No offence, ABC. All their good content basically disappeared once government threatened to can them.
I mean, ideally, you should have a huge server bank that is just there the whole time and just feed everything into it.
And I believe some of the production studios are kind of... I did see something recently where Working Dog have actually made their stuff available to stream from their website. So they've set up their own streaming service. It's not some of the old school stuff, I think, but things like All Aussie Adventures and things like that, you can now go onto their website and actually stream it and watch it for free, I believe. And they've just made it...
So
available.
Things like that, though, when they exist, they're kind of isolated. There needs to be an aggregator that aggregates all that stuff and says, oh, look, here's all this stuff from all around
Australia. And it's only because this particular production company have said, this is not on TV anymore, but we want it out in the world. So their on demand is Russell Coit's All Aussie Adventures, Funky Squad, which was what they did straight after Frontline.
I haven't even seen it. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so if you want to watch Funky Squad, you can go straight to their website, Utopia, River Somewhere, which was their fishing show that they did after Late Show.
So where is this website?
This is the Working Dog website.
Working Dog website.
Yeah, that's the production company that did Frontline, Utopia.
Oh, okay.
What was the one that... The Panel? I don't think The Panel's
on
here.
Yeah, no, because like, the Hollow Man. Yeah.
Pacific Heat, which was like the animated cop show that they did.
Oh.
Like, it's just all of the stuff that comes under the Working Dog umbrella that since from Frontline onwards, and they've just made them available. Because Frontline you can get on Stan, I think.
I think Utopia's on Netflix.
Yeah, that's it. Now they're available. You can just go straight on the website and watch it. Yeah.
And the trouble is, of course, with the streaming sites is that they'll pick up something and then they'll drop it again a few years later.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I think my personal library of video is bigger than the Netflix library of video. Yeah.
They kind of create a demand by dropping things.
By deliberately dropping things.
Which makes sense if you've got the Australian national database, got everything ever produced in Australian media. Yeah. You save space by posting certain amounts of it at certain times, but you just need to be transparent with it. Hey, we're re-releasing this and be open and hey, we can't host this all the time, so this is a summer show, this is a winter show, you know, stuff like that.
That's it, that's it. I've found that I do go on to like ABC iView and SBS have got good stuff as well. SBS will tend to have cult stuff, and you can find some really nice surprises on there. But then even like the commercial stations, it's not great.
So
what would you rate it for food?
Food rating.
The big question.
God.
What kind of food was that?
Twisties?
Oh, yeah, it would have to be something like Twisties or Burger Rings or something. It would be.
Tim Tams?
No.
Well, no, they're Australian.
Something that's very Aussie.
A Burger Ring pie floater.
It would be junk food. It would be like
just a South
real
Australian
classic
thing.
2005 thing, junk
that was
food.
A Sydney thing.
So,
Devon.
Yeah.
Okay, so it has to be a Sydney thing. What's a Sydney fast food?
Devon,
what's that?
Fritz.
No, it's Devon or Fritz. Yeah. I legitimately think Twisties.
Yeah, Twisties
like,
is good.
Cheesy.
And meat pie, but not Villy's meat pie. It'd have to be whatever they have in the eastern states.
We have Villy's in the eastern states.
Oh, do we? I thought Villy's was South Australian.
But they weren't even around then.
Balfour's?
Not sure.
I didn't get to eat that sort of stuff.
We've just learned that South Australia has the best meat pies in the country. So there you go. Balfour's and Villy's.
The only time I've ever been interested in meat pies was when I was pregnant. I crave meat pies. And then I had to try and find how I could get one and not give myself salmonella or something.
Cool. Interesting. Twisties. Awesome.
Yeah,
thank you.
Twisties.
Wrap us up, Justin, please. No, wrap us up. Wrap us up. Wrap us up. Ambience.
So do you think that appeals to modern audiences? Oh, okay.
I feel like I could smell and taste that panda costume, man.
Oh,
it felt rank. It was just, it was gross.
Wrap us up, wrap us up, wrap us up, wrap us up, wrap us up.
Baylor, lay down a beat.
Here we go.
My name is Justin and I'm here to say.
Okay, so that was it for the Cult TV Club. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next month with something
else. Chris Turner's at next
betterer.
Month.
Betterer.
Yeah. We're going to have some fun, guys.
So,
bye.
Bye.